It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Wednesday, May 27th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Today, NASA is reconfiguring the International Space Station. Before we get to what that looks like, let's talk about why. To make more room for crews to dock. And that's about making adjustments to what is essentially a government facility to work more with private companies. Michael Lopez Alegria is a retired NASA astronaut who holds the American record for longest single space flight, 215 days. Now he's an independent consultant for the space industry. Hi, Michael. Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome, Ben.
Reconfiguring the space station, is this easier or harder than assembling a piece of furniture from IKEA?
Well, there are certainly a lot more words in the directions. I'm going to go with harder.
Can you talk a little bit about just what's happening here?
Basically, we are going from a world where the only entities that go to space are governments to one where commercial companies are doing it. And this move is part of a reconfiguration that will soon be allowing companies to be delivering crew members, astronauts, instead of what we do right now, which is hitch a ride with the Russians, for which we pay about $75 million a seat.
Can you describe the procedures that we're talking about here? I mean, what's going on?
It's actually done by the ground, which is pretty interesting. The ground controllers in Mission Control in Houston will detach a module from one location on a central node and move it to another location on a different node, and that will free up the original port for one of these commercial cargo vehicles to be berthed to.
So they're unscrewing one big canister and screwing a different one on.
You got it. Exactly right. So they're really not buying any more ports. It's just that they're putting them in different places to allow better choreography later.
By the way, you've been hearing about the flooding that has caused a lot of issues in the city of Houston and in greater Texas in recent days. Well, Lopez Alegria says NASA has a mobile control center for issues like this, but his sources say it won't be used this time. An estimated 10% of all U.S. internet traffic at night is from people streaming Netflix. And over the next few weeks, your evening viewing might look a little bit different. That's because user interface changes are coming to Netflix. Josh Lowenson wrote about this for The Verge. Hi, Josh.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. What's the problem Netflix is trying to solve here?
The problem is that they have too many movies and a growing number of users, and they're trying to figure out ways to show movies to people in a way that's not confusing and overwhelming. And if you look at what they're doing now with some of their original series, Netflix is starting to look like a lot less like something you would do to avoid buying DVDs and more like something you would do to kind of augment your TV watching habits and get things that you can't actually get on TV or cable.
How does our data get treated differently as part of the redesign here?
One of the crazy things Netflix is doing with data is before you even see the cover of a show, say something like House of Cards, maybe you'll see Kevin Spacey on the front, but maybe you won't. They've already kind of test grouped that with a few people, maybe 10,000 users here or there, and saw what people actually clicked on. So these are all sorts of things they're doing that users never even see that have kind of dramatic impacts on how people are watching their content.
Josh Lowenson writes for The Verge. Josh, thanks.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
If you want to make me crazy, put me in an airport and give me a really problematic, low-bandwidth way to access the internet. And on the plane, sometimes okay, but usually the worst. It's a media streaming desert out there. Turns out, I'm not the only one who feels this way. After decades of consumer dissatisfaction, airports and airlines are spending a pretty penny to make flying the friendly skies more friendly for those of us who like our Wi-Fi, etc. Reporter Jim Burris from WABE in Atlanta looks at whether those tech updates, though, are really keeping the customer in mind.
Sunsea Shaw wants an easy journey home to Indiana. So she checked in online and printed her boarding pass before leaving home for Atlanta's International Airport.
I thought that it would save me time so that way I can get through the check-in process quickly and then go on to security and catch my flight.
What's really happening?
I'm standing in line.
A long, chaotic line. Waiting in multiple lines has become synonymous with flying. But developing technology could make it where...
There's no lines. You're able to move through the process without having to stop and get in the line and queue for anything.
That's Jim Peters with airport tech company Sita. He says future airports could operate like today's Apple Store. Employees armed with wearables like an Apple Watch will walk around checking you in, sorting out your baggage, and generally keep things moving. Wearable tech will also help to manage staff.
So if you've got too long of lines at one spot, that you could automatically shift staff around, be notifying them via wearable. What do I need to do? Where do I need to be?
Another emerging airport technology, beacons. Roosevelt Council is the CFO of Atlanta's airport.
Beacons are literally data packets that can be delivered to a mobile device.
He says beacons allow direct connections with a passenger's smartphone or watch, giving them updates on gate changes, flight delays, or even a coupon for a neck pillow. And then there's this.
You know, we avoid that real, I think, deal killer and buzz killer, which is the lost bag.
That's Rhonda Crawford, VP of e-commerce at Delta. She says beacons installed in Atlanta are part of a pilot project. Customers can track the progress of their bags through Delta's mobile app, right down to which carousel it's coming down on. In Atlanta, I'm Jim Burris for Marketplace.
And let's do a number, 100,000. That's how many taxpayers the Internal Revenue Service is now saying had their personal information stolen this year by hackers. The security hole was apparently in a service people could use to request transcripts of tax returns. If you want more information on that, it's also on our Twitter feed. We're at Marketplace Tech. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.